St. John chapter 20. And it reads as follows, beginning at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, or the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, and so they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Have you seen Jesus lately? Turn to your neighbor and say, Neighbor, I know it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning, but have you seen Jesus lately? If you have, give him some praise. This is one of the times with this wind blowing as hard as it's blowing that I'm not a manuscript preacher. I'm so glad. Listen at what the text says, because I want to hurriedly get to some preaching points to help us understand some truths that are so deep that if we're not careful, we will look over them in our reading and in our studying and miss the reality of this message so deeply rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that Mary, first of all, Magdalene, was a woman out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. She was a woman that was not closely related to righteousness and things of purity. There were things suggested about Mary and her lifestyle that made her an unsavory woman. But one day, she met Jesus. She met a man who loved her for her. She met a man who loved her in spite of her. And she found this man to love her with such a pure love that it literally transformed her life from that moment on. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you really meet Jesus and have a life-changing experience, there's something that happens so deep underneath the skin that even at the thought of his dying, it doesn't diminish that love. This woman finds herself in such a situation that her love overrules her senses. Her love is so profound and so deep that she finds herself in a situation where her love gets her up, if she ever went to sleep that night, to go to the tomb and to see her Lord. She goes out and she makes this appeal for her own heart's desire to see him and finish the process of that anointing and getting him ready for the continuation of the dying and burying process. Now, I want you to note some things. She goes out early in the morning while it's still dark, and she goes looking to see Jesus. Now, the first problem is that even though she loved him, she was still ignorant of the fact that he had already declared that on the third day morning he was going to get up from the grave and rise and live again. Her devotion was to him and not so much to the fact that he was going to get up that Sunday morning. That wasn't what she was looking for. She went to the graveyard looking for a dead Jesus, because she was one of the women who saw him die on the cross, heard him give up the ghost, and understood that he was dead. But because of the timing, she was unable to do anything more in the preservation of his body in the burial acts. And so what she was doing that morning was to go and to continue the process. She was not looking for a living Lord. She was looking for a dead Jesus. And incidentally, my brothers and sisters, whenever you go to the graveyard, you're looking for dead folk to be there. She goes to the graveyard and she goes there early, and she's there by herself. And when she sees the stone rolled away, she becomes hysterical. And she runs and she tells Peter and John that they have taken the body of Jesus away. At this moment, she never looks in the tomb. She just saw the stone rolled away, and she assumed not that he had risen, but that somebody had stolen him, that somebody had taken his body, that somebody had displaced his body. And so she went to tell the disciples. Now look at the story. The disciples come. John, a younger man, he outruns Peter, but he doesn't go in. Peter comes on that later because he's older and he slows, and then Peter goes on in and John follows on behind him. And they see the place where he was laid, but was no more. But look at what the Bible says. When they got through looking at the situation, they both went home. Now, I want to say this is not a message about victimizing the brothers. This is a message about validating the woman who loved him enough to stay there, even though she thought he was still dead. Now, listen at this now. When they leave and go home, Mary is still outside the tomb weeping. She's weeping sorely because the Lord that she loved is not just dead, but he's dead and missing. She expected in her love for him to see him still dead at the place where they buried him on Friday. But now Sunday morning, his body is missing. She looks in and she sees two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. And they ask her, "Woman, what are you looking for? Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" Another writer reports, but all of this does not register to Mary, because all she knows is her heart is hurting, because her Lord is missing. Now, I want to share something with you, my brothers and sisters. I don't care who you are, and you might be looking for Jesus in the wrong place, but if you're really looking for Jesus, I got news for you. He'll show up. No matter where your place might be, no matter what your situation may be, you may have made some bad decisions. You might be in a wrong place, in a wrong period, in a wrong decision of your life. But if you really, truly seek Jesus Christ, he will come to your place, even if it's a graveyard, and meet you right there. Look at the text. I want to go back to it for a moment. Look, Bible says in verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now, she felt so close and so personal to him, she figured if they were going to move her Lord, they should have told her something about it. Listen at this personal ownership she's taken of her Lord. Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Why didn't she know it was Jesus? Because she was not looking for a living Lord. She was looking for a dead Jesus. Now, let me tell you how powerful the mind is. She's looking at him, but she wasn't looking for him to be alive. She went to the grave looking for a dead Jesus, not expecting a living Lord. Now, here's what I want you to see, because if you're not really looking for Jesus the right way, you can see him and still miss him. She would have left that graveyard missing Jesus and having seen him if he wouldn't have done something that caused her to know it was him. Look at what the text says again. I want you to see this. The Bible says again, and verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Listen at this. Whom seekest thou? Now look at what the word says. She's supposing him to be who? The gardener. The gardener. And listen to what the Bible said. Saith unto him, Sir. Now when you know it's Jesus, you don't refer to him as Sir. You refer to him as Lord, as Master. But not Sir, because again, her mind is playing tricks on her. She's looking at Jesus, but her mind believes he's still dead. Now, I want to say something about Jesus. First of all, Jesus has compassion and concern for her. In spite of her, he has compassion and concern. He has gotten up out of the grave early that morning. The only reason why I submit to you that angels were still in the tomb was because he knew people wouldn't believe that he had gotten up. So he left some proof. And I got news for you. If you don't like death and if you don't like graveyards, you don't want to stay there any longer than you have to. Every time on planet Earth he was encountered with death, what did he do with those who died? He raised them. The widow Nain, they were going in a processional, taking her son to the graveyard. Jesus came by there, touched the side of the casket. Boy, got on up. Jairus was there. He was in a great meeting. A woman came up there, touched the hem of his garment. She got her healing. He went on to Jairus' house. People laughed him to scorn because they said she was dead. Jesus said he was just asleep. He went on there and said to the girl, get up. And the girl got up. His best friend had died. They sent a message. He stayed where he was 2 days longer. When he got there, 4 days had passed, and all he did was say, Lazarus, these folks think you dead. Come on out of there. Now, why was he demonstrating all this resurrection power? He was showing it and demonstrating because he was the resurrection. And because he was the resurrection, he refused to stay in the grave, even for folk who didn't believe he was who he said he was. So he left some witnesses who would tell the story, because he got up early that morning, stretched himself and started walking around again, because he had been in a whole nother world, an underworld, a death world. He had already had the keys according to Revelation chapter 1, and he had already started unlocking all of those, I wish I had a witness, cells where the souls who had died in faith waiting on him. So he had a whole army to march up. Matthew 27 requires us to understand that when he got up, he didn't just get up by himself, but the dead who died in faith got up with him, and they started walking down the streets of Jerusalem. I'm trying to tell you, it was too early in the morning and too long for a living Lord to stay in a graveyard. But she wasn't looking for a living Lord. So he had compassion and he had concern for her. But I want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible says he asked her a question. He says, why weepest thou? Because if you really knew he was alive, you wouldn't have nothing to cry about. Then he says, who are you looking for? Because here again, it implies that you really can't be looking for the living where dead live. Now look at what he goes on, the Bible says. She supposing him to be the gardener said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him, tell me where thou hast laid him. Listen at this now. And I will take him away. Now look at what she's saying. Mr. Gardener, I don't know if you're cleaning out the tomb. I don't know what you're doing. But if you've taken him and put him somewhere else, look at what she says. Tell me where you put him. And I'll go by myself. Now, I have a question for you. Why does she say she'll go by herself? Because the men done already went home. Somebody ought to say amen. It's right in the scripture. Now, she loves him. How many of you know love will find a way? By herself, she loved him so much, she said, I ain't going to wait on nobody else because they don't love him like I love him. And I'm not questioning anybody else's love. I just know I love him so much, dead or alive, I want to see him. And she says, I will bring him. I'll take him from wherever you have laid him. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said unto her, one word, Mary, period. Mary, I don't know what your Bible has, but after Mary, my Bible has, you know why it's a period and not a comma? The reason why it was a period behind Mary's name was because she knew the man that called the name. And even though she saw with her eyes, she did not believe with her mind till she heard his voice. And when she heard Mary, that was enough. How many of you know that your name next to Jesus' name is the sweetest name you know? Since this is a love story, she's loving her Lord. Have you ever been in love? Don't raise your hand because some of you might be lying. But if you've ever been in love, your name sounds better than you've ever heard it when the one who loves you calls you by your. Lord, y'all ain't never been in love before, obviously. Jesus simply called her name and everything on the inside of her aligned itself with reality. She heard the voice of the Lord that loved her so completely, so purely, so thoroughly that she knew no other voice could sound like the voice of Jesus. And she knew he was alive the way he called her name. Listen at what the Bible says. I want you to see this. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni. This is a Hebrew word for teacher or master. And the Bible says, listen, Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Now listen, he has compassion and concern on her when she's weeping and don't know where to turn, don't know where to go. And then he calls her name. And then she realizes that he's the risen Lord. And then thirdly, he cautions her now. Why is he cautioning her? And this word is not accurately describing what really happens here when he says, touch me not. It didn't really mean as we would think it means here when it says, touch me not. It didn't mean, don't touch me. The woman was excited to see him, and she just ran up and she grabbed him. What the word translated really mean was, don't hang on to me. Don't hold me here. And so, hey, have you ever? I have some aunts. When I was young, I just hated to see them. Because when I see them, they'd grab me. They got me, and I'm all smothered up. I can't go nowhere till they get through getting their love on me. And when they get through letting me go and I can breathe again, I'm just so relieved. But now, listen, this is the kind of clinging that she had with you. The woman is happy. She couldn't sleep all night last night. She was there at the grave early before the sun came up. She thought that someone had stolen his body, that she'd never see him again. Now she not only sees him, and she was expecting him to be dead, and now he's alive. And so she goes to him, and she clings herself to him. And so what he's saying is, Mary, don't cling to me, because the embrace had to have lasted several minutes, and the way it looked, it was going to last a whole lot longer. But Jesus had some unfinished business. And the reason why he cautioned her to let him go and not to cling to him was because it wasn't over yet. There was some things still left to be done. And they could stay there all day hugging and giving salutations and greetings and being excited. But stuff still had to be done. Listen to what the Bible says, because I need you to see this. So after he calls her and after he cautions her, he then commissions her. Because the Bible says, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and go to my God and your God. Now listen at this, because this is important. She's excited. She's seen him. He's cautioned her not to hold on to him long, because they both have work to do. He says, I've got to ascend back to my Father, so your embracing me and holding me down here is not for the purpose of my staying here. My purpose now is to go up to heaven and to prepare a place for you. That's what John was talking about in the 14th chapter. He couldn't get the place prepared if she was going to stay down there just embracing him. And others would have done it, but they weren't there. So since she was the only one there and the message was urgent, Jesus sends who is available. Now, I think I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, he truly is no respecter of persons. Mary was a woman in many regards and respects, and commentaries suggest a woman of ill repute, a woman who had been filled with seven demons, a woman who was not thought of highly by the public, but Jesus changed her life and he cleaned her up, and his word was just as safe and just as good in her as it would have been with any of the other disciples, because when the Lord cleans you up, can't nobody call you unclean. When the Lord changes your life, can't nobody say your life is not changed. When the Lord desires to use you and do something in you, it doesn't matter whether the world like it or not, or like you enough. If the Lord wants to use you, he will use you in spite of everybody. And so she was the only available human. He could have used angels. But angels had not had a need to be redeemed. And the resurrection didn't mean half as much to angels as it meant to men on earth. And so he showed himself to Mary. Listen, and I submit to you, he came back to the grave after he had gotten up out of the grave to meet her where she was. And then while she was, he celebrated with her momentarily, and he told her he had to catch a cloud and go back to the Father. And he told her, listen at this now, because he's commissioned her with a message that is so important. All of this comes down to this point. I want you to see this. Again, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now here we go. But go to my brethren. Now if you look in Scripture, you're going to find out that this is the first place where Jesus ever refers to the believers as brethren. He's referred to them as servants. He's referred to them as friends. But he's never referred to them as brothers. Now hear me if you don't hear anything else. He couldn't refer to them as brothers before the resurrection, because they had not yet been adopted. Now listen at this. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And his work on earth, his mission on earth, was to come down and to pay the price, the sacrifice of his life for the ransom of many. Now understand the process. Everything he did up to Calvary just qualified him for and positioned him to be the Savior of all mankind. His job simply put mankind in position to be adopted. But they could not be adopted until he had been sacrificed. And now that Calvary was on the other side of the resurrection, And he had already gotten up from the grave and completed his work on planet Earth. He then spent the next 40 days walking around and showing men, women, girls, and boys that he was the risen Savior. Resurrection morning then fully qualified men to come to Jesus and have their sins remitted from them. Resurrection morning fulfilled the task of Jesus on planet Earth to redeem whosoever will. The planet Earth experience of salvation was not validated until early Sunday morning when he got up. And when he got up, listen at this, the earnest of the Spirit was sent. 40 days later, the Holy Ghost comes down, and then he then seals them with his presence and with his power. And so look at what Romans, turn your Bibles there if you will right quick. Romans chapter 8, I want you to see what the Word of God says. Beginning at verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.